Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Memorial Day. I know this is a three-day weekend for most everybody, and it's a kind of a laid-back time and stuff, but I also want to add to what Pastor Jim said about praying, remembering those who have fallen for us, those who laid their lives down for us in this country, and especially on top of all of that, what Jesus did for us. The most important. Also, I've been had a chance to visit every class, every grace class now. Our little mini Bible school that's going on, and I have to tell you, and I'm just going to be real up front. They are quality. They are the kind of quality that we had in Bible college. And let me explain to you all, when Rosie and I were instructors in Bible school and Bible college, I would stack our instructors up against the instructors that we had in the school. Amen? Now, I want you to pray about what you should go to, because this offering is for all of you to help you really get solidified in the understanding of grace, God's call in your life, the revelation of Jesus Christ to you, and what this means. Because the more you understand this revelation of Jesus, and this is for all of us, the more that all of us understand this revelation of Jesus, the deeper, the bigger, the wider the reality of this grace that he's given to us takes place in our lives. And it's not something we work at. It's not something we earn or have to make happen on our own. It just begins to happen because we're starting to get the revelation and receive. That's the point of all these classes, is to build our lives up in the understanding of his grace to us, so that we can go ahead and take hold of everything he's had for us. We can see it happen without effort. That is the point. Amen? See, all the effort's been paid by Jesus. All of it. All the work has been done by Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Well, I have a whole lot of time today, and I got to tell you, when I was praying about this weekend, I kept sensing the Lord, he just wanted to do something different today. So we're going to do something different. And we've not ever done something like what we're going to do today in the past, not during service. And I believe it's going to bless you. But first, would you go with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. And I'm taking a little side journey off of the series that we've had. The title is The Journey, from the series we've been on. And this little side journey title is called, What Has He Done For You? What Has He Done For You? Mark chapter 5. And before I start, let me preface it with what's going on, because when you read the word, there are times that they are teaching and there's open revelation, or there's times that it's parables that are illustrations, and they have all kinds of different and deeper meanings in our lives, and they point to all kinds of things about the kingdom. And then there are times when it's an actual event, and in this event or within this event, there are all kinds of areas of life contained that affect us really directly. They're supposed to speak to us very directly, and we're going to cover that today. Everybody like documentation? I mean something that's factual. As far as the word goes, when it's factual, it's documented, here it is, it's before my eyes, this is real. This is real stuff. This isn't some, you know, you think, 2,000, 4,000, 6,000 years ago, either the verbal communication that was passed down from the patriarchs and the prophetic that was given, and all the things that the Lord did, and then they were begun to be written, And then it came to the New Testament, and documents began to get written and passed down to us. These are the facts of what we believe. And in these factual events, they have to become, instead of some oblique or mysterious or conceptual way, they have to become real. This is where things take place in our hearts. This is where these events, these scripturally documented events, begin to take place in our hearts. And as they do, we begin to believe, and things begin to change as we believe or as we understand. Everybody on the same page with me? Okay. Documentation. This is documentation today that we're going to cover of an actual event. And how does this impact our lives? So here's the preface. Jesus and his disciples are crossing Lake Galilee. This is the tail end of Mark chapter 4. Jesus, you know, he never did anything without a purpose. He never did anything without following the Father's will. His life was just in doing the Father's will. Now, he's crossing Lake Galilee with his disciples, and all of a sudden, there begins to be a storm from hell, really right out of the pit of hell. And the boat is a-rocking, and the disciples are afraid, and Jesus takes care of it. He has a purpose in mind. This is all about doing what the Father has told him to do for a reason. So they get across the lake, and it begins. Mark chapter 5 and verse 1. And I want to read this whole event to you for a purpose. And then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. Now please understand, the country of the Gadarenes was a separate, it was separate from the Jews. This was what's what we would call the world, or a secular, non-Jewish, worldly, Romanesque type country. They don't know the Lord, okay? So their whole culture, their whole attitude is different. They came to the Gadarenes, and when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs, out of the graveyard, a man with an unclean spirit. Now let me make sure that we all understand. An unclean spirit is there's a clean spirit or a holy spirit, a pure spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. There's only one. And then there are unclean spirits, which are demonic, and there's a pile of them. A limited number, but there's a pile of them. They met him out of the tombs, out of the graveyard, a man with an unclean demonic spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. They couldn't do anything with him. He was wild. And there was a strength, a supernatural strength in him that worked through him to break shackles and chains that were put on him. He was uncontrollable. He was out of his mind. He had some demonic power. Verse 5, and always, and this is continual, always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Now this crying out that he was doing was shrieking, continually wailing and shrieking and cutting himself. The torment that this man was in was unbelievable. The demonic oppression and control being exercised in his life and in his mind, in every aspect of his life, was unfathomable. It was so immense and so overwhelming and so overpowering that in order to get, and this is the interesting part, in order to get peace or some sense of sanity, in order to let this out, he would shriek and cut himself. This is the emotional aspect of what's going on inside of him. Verse 6, when he saw Jesus way far away, he ran and he worshiped him. Now, in the Greek, when he came and he worshiped Jesus, this man with this unclean spirit, or demonic spirits, who find out, came and he got on his knees and he put his face to the ground in front of Jesus. This is the picture. Here's Jesus, just got out of the boat, and a man runs to him. Gets on his knees and on his face, and he cried out with a loud voice, and he said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you, I beg you, that you do not torment me." Jesus never came to torment any person. Jesus never will torment any person, ever. Obviously, this wasn't the man. This wasn't him speaking. This wasn't him fearing. This wasn't him trembling. He was scared to death. Verse 8, Jesus said to him, now, when you read the word, and just so you understand the translators and how they worked, everything is not always, if you don't know this, everything is not always chronological in the statements and the translations. And sometimes when they bring some of the word forward through the Aramaic and the Greek, and we bring this into the word or the Hebrew, sometimes some of the sentences are backwards in order. Everybody understand this? Okay, just so you know that. For he said to him, this is one of those, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." And then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered him, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Here's a clue. Legion in a Roman army at that time was about 6,000 men. Legion, what this demonic entity in this man's life was saying is, "We have had control like you cannot believe in this man's life, in his mind, in his heart, in his body. And we are many with all our different personalities and all our different areas that we excel in stealing and killing and destroying." Can you picture, just for a moment, in the torment that going on in this man, what was happening in his mind as all this demonic was running through his mind, every thought, every feeling, every understanding in his heart was colored, everything. His body was affected. The man in another gospel says he was naked. The sense of, because in this time, as now, it's just a depth of shame. It's a depth of debauchery. It's all these things. Dirty. This was the result of the enemy. And again, the torment in his mind from all this demonic going on. We can't even fathom the depth of it. every foul thought that could ever come that you've ever experienced or I've ever experienced multiplied exponentially was happening in him. Jesus says, come out of him, unclean spirit. And he said, what is your name? He answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Also, he begged Jesus earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains, and so all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. And at once, Jesus gave them permission. Here's the one standing there who holds the universe together. Because you have to see this in your mind. This man worshiping before him, full of demons. Don't send us out of the country. Send us into the pigs. We've got to have a place to go. And they asked permission. Does that give us an understanding of the immense power that was standing there before this man? The immense power who lives in us. Then the unclean spirits, he gave them permission. And the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine, they ran. And they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. And then they came to Jesus. Now remember, these are not Jews. They don't have the knowledge and the understanding of God. Those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. All the torment was gone. The shame was covered. He was delivered. He was normal. He was free. He was healed. He was delivered. All this in an instant. And the people came out to see. And they were afraid. They had become so accustomed. Now this is the world around us. They had become so accustomed to the shrieking and the torment and this poor, sad case of a man that they became afraid when he was delivered, when he was freed, because they were so accustomed to the darkness and to the evil and to the torment of this man's life. This was a huge contrast in front of them. It is amazing how accustomed the world gets to evil and how it continues to get darker and darker and darker and darker. And those who saw it told him how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed. Verse 16. And about the swine. And then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. It was the rejection of the light of the world. At that very time. The rejection of the one who had the answers. The rejection of the one who came to bring them the love of God and freedom and his grace. Go away, We're afraid of you. This is how the world looks at Christianity. We're afraid of you. You might change things. We might get free. We're afraid. Verse 18, when Jesus got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him. I can see this, that he might go with him. Please, let me go. Let me stay with you. Let me be with you. Let me walk with you. However, Jesus did not permit him, but he said to him, go home to your friends. Tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. Now, when I was reading this, and this has been a while, I've been meditating on this for a while. And you know, let me read this again. Because it really struck me. Jesus said, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. You know, it made me begin to inventory in my own life because I hadn't thought about this. Every once in a while, I think a little bit, you know, wow, Lord, I'm so thankful for this. Wow, I'm grateful for this. And I feel like I've kind of got a grateful heart. But I began to inventory the great things that he has done for me. And the list got longer and longer and longer and longer as I began to think about the great things that he had done for me in my life. And they're still coming. Have you ever thought about all the great things that Jesus has done for you? Have you ever considered it? All the great things that Jesus has done for you. Well, this hit this man. And this is what he did. He departed. And he began to proclaim in Decapolis. This is what he said. All that Jesus had done. Do you know what Jesus has done for me? Can I tell you about what Jesus has done for me? Decapolis is called the Ten Cities. And this is a Roman and Greek-esque area where the knowledge of God was super minimal. Full of cults, full of occult, full of cultish things and idol worship. And he became the first missionary to this area and he paved the way for the gospel in this whole area, just telling what great things Jesus had done for him. And all the people that heard him were amazed. Let me sum it up. Just this event. Jesus crossed the lake and he went through the storm to get to him. Because this man, this one individual, who everybody left to the tombs and the graveyard and left him to be tormented and had no idea what to do with him and just said, let's just get him out of the city, get him away from us. Jesus went to him because he was valuable. This man, this individual, so demon-possessed, nobody else would get around him. Uncontrollable. To Jesus, he was valuable. He was so tormented in his mind and his body and his emotions that his whole life, future were hopeless. I mean zero. There was zero for him. There was nothing he could change in his life on his own. Zero. And Jesus, master of the universe, set him free by the power of God, which is the only thing that can set us free and do for us the things that we cannot do, any of us. And this man's life was forever changed. And all he knew to do was tell what great things Jesus had done for him. And when you parallel our lives, Jesus crossed over heaven for us. We are that valuable to him, every one of us. He freed us. Now, there's not a one of us that at some point in time has not been tormented. Not a one of us. In mind, in heart, in our emotions, in our bodies, or maybe still are now. Jesus freed us from it. He snapped the chains, the bondage. He broke it. All of it. He defeated every single devil in hell for us. He changed our lives forever. He did what we could never do on our own. Not one of us. None of us can heal ourselves. In our hearts, our minds, our bodies. We really can't do it. Now, he has done it. We can accept it. We can operate in the gifts that he's given us. But on our own and by our own and our own selves, we can't do it. We have to have him. It takes him. That is salvation by grace, really, in the essence. And that's a type of what happened to this man. That's what happened to us. He brought us into his kingdom with all his benefits, and he took up residence in us forever. Man, it doesn't get any better than that. Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. But I make known to you, brethren, this is Paul, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. The greater the revelation of Jesus and God's grace to us brings to us an ever-increasing understanding of how big he is, and the depth of what he did to get to us, to rescue us, to do for us. Amen? Amen. It's huge. It's huge. So here's my question. What great things has he done for you? Would anybody like to share a little bit this morning? Anybody like to share? Anybody have one thing? One great thing he's done for you? I could go on and on, but this is not mine today. This is yours. Come on up. Come on up. Just come on up. Start standing up here. Because I want you to share what great thing the Lord has done for you. Where's that orange microphone?
It's coming.
Thank you. Come here, Brad. Stand up on this first part of the platform here. What great thing has the Lord done for you? And we're going to open the doors because this is a time today for testimonies. I'd like to get Russ in here also. Is Russ around? Bring him in here, would you? Thank you.
Amen.
Okay, Brad. It's yours.
Thank you, Pastor Mike. I want to share how the Lord set me free from a demon of fear. doctors call it OCD, obsessive-compulsive disorder. But the Lord helped me recognize through some spirit-filled believers. You know what? You got a big old dark cloud of fear over you. I didn't know it was there. That same day, there was a called Agape Fellowship in Ohio. Phenomenal ministry. And they helped walk me through me taking responsibility for how I had welcomed that in. And I rejected it. And I severed that tie and that relationship. And I said, you know, I chose to partner with you, Satan, because I believed your lies. And I let you lie to me, and I accepted those lies. But today I reject those lies, and I stand against them now in Jesus' name, and I cut you off completely. I break up with you, fear, in Jesus' name. That began that real process of healing. I took responsibility for my own actions, my own mind, my own decisions, you know, that I had made, because we all get strongholds in our lives through not taking every thought captive, you know? And the Lord showed me, and all throughout all the horrible suffering of demonic oppression that I had in OCD, the Lord was with me through it all, always saying, focus on me, and then, you know, I can go on to that forever, but it was and this is something that is impossible to be completely delivered from according to the world standards. People don't get free from OCD, they learn to manage it, just like other things, right? Well, whatever, that's a lie from hell. And I was completely, thanks, I was, it was awesome. The day that I was still battling with some of the feelings, thoughts, and fears, right? But I knew that I'd already severed this tie. And that is a very important thing to remember when you're getting free from something, and those thoughts come, and the old sins and everything, you don't take back on the identity. You realize it's a familiar spirit that wants some turf again. And you say, I reject you in Jesus' name. And then I just said, I'm done with this.
Amen.
And I walked in that power of Christ right at that moment. I had that, you know, so.
Amen.
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 And I'm free ever since.
Thank you, Brad. He set you free from OCD. Come on, Jeffrey. For all of you, this is Jeffrey. Jeffrey, this is everybody.
Hi. My name's Jeffrey. I've just been here for a second or two. I haven't really been that social, but I'm actually, what you were talking about, Mark 5, was just, wow. So for me personally, this last week, I went on a camping trip with my friend. I've known him since my whole upbringing. He's my church, like I've known him since church. I used to go to Harvest Christian Church on 7th Mile and Telegraph. But we went to Newaygo, Michigan, and we went, we were just going to have a good time camping from Friday to Sunday. That Friday night, I'm going to be completely honest with you. We watched the sunset, completely beautiful. We smoked, and then we were going to go kayaking at night. But I was at a certain point where I let myself become susceptible, and I let my mind slip into the spot where I became tormented by demons. And my Elijah, he was strong. Like, at first he wanted to flee, but then God literally told him to like grab me and to keep holding me. So I was in something, and literally the only thing that kept me from being overcome was uttering the name Jesus. I was hopeless. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, I'm going to be done. Like, I can't. Like, the legions. Like, literally. And then he said, Jesus. That was like my anchor. It was like the only thing. And I just kept saying Jesus and Jesus and Jesus. And then we were able to get back to our campground, and we started playing praise and worship music, and I was overwhelmed. It was like, I didn't realize that, how, like, the reality of a covering, I didn't understand it. Like, they talk about a covering, and I just taking myself for granted, like, just messing with unclean things and not thinking that it's, like, really does anything, but it's literally such a reality of, it's either kingdom or hell. And there's nothing in between. Like, And the actions that you do, they have such a gravity towards who you're serving. And I believe that it was strategic for me to be tormented because like the Lord, like the enemy sees who are the commanders of the legions, whether it be legions of angels or demons. And he wants to like the reason why that guy was tormented by the legions, mm-hmm. is because they knew that he was going to evangelize all of Gerasene. Do you know what I'm saying?
I don't know that the enemy knows the plans of God. But let me say this. What happened to you was Jesus set you free. You came to him and he set you free. You came to him and you got your understanding back. You came to him and the revelation of Jesus opened up.
Yes.
That's what happened.
Yes, that is.
Praise
so
God.
It's so important who you're promoting. Like, are you going to be commander of the kingdom? Do you know? Like, there's no other way. Like, yeah.
Amen. So. Thank you, Jeffrey. Come on, Todd. Now, here's the question for everybody. What great thing, if you just take one, what great thing has Jesus done for you that you want to share today?
Hi, my name's Todd, and yeah, back in 2005, yeah, God set me free. Back in my teenage years and early 20s, I was pretty lost, getting into all kinds of stuff I shouldn't. But yeah, I was riding my motorcycle and I got in a bad accident and I had to be life flighted to Toledo Hospital. On the way there, they actually put me in an unzipped body bag. They couldn't get a heartbeat or a pulse out of me. And come to find out, my mom was already down at the hospital. And she was, I hear, praying at the top of her lungs, saying, in Jesus' name, my son's all right. And yeah, my heartbeat and pulse came back. And then I fell into a coma, but I was only in a coma for 3 days, and I came out of that. And within a month, I was out of the hospital. And after all that, I realized what God did for me. And he did an amazing thing, and I couldn't keep living the way I was living. And that's when I gave my life, got right with God, and after that, then, yeah, things started coming together.
Amen.
Yeah.
So the great thing, at least one of those great things, was he saved your life, and he prospered you from that point on. Hallelujah. Russell, you were sharing with me the other day, powerful testimony. What's one great thing the Lord has done for you?
Ben, to my knowledge, a lot of you can define very clearly the point at which you were saved. I was born and raised in a Pentecostal setting, so to actually pinpoint my salvation moment, I grew up around people that were full of the Spirit, spoke in tongues, believed in all of the amazing things that God has for each and every one of us. Mm-hmm. So to pinpoint that would be difficult, but the greatest change in my life was at 53 and a half years of age when God set before me the message of grace. I was surfing the channel. I walked away from the church because I could not keep the law. And I realized that according to the teachings I had been under, either you're hot or you're cold, or God will spew you out of his mouth. I was worried about my condition, so I knew I couldn't be cold, but I didn't succeed at living that life, so I knew I couldn't be hot. That only left one thing, which wasn't a good choice. So I told God, before I make you really angry and you spew me out of your mouth, I'll just get out of your face. And I did ask him, I said, if you don't mind, would you save me one more chance? And at 53 and a half years of age, watching TV, I saw Charles Stanley, and I'd heard other things that he had brought that had wisdom. Well, as soon as I heard him preaching on eternal security in the church I grew up in, you know, that's like vampire, get back, that's terrible, yet that can't be right. But I heard the Holy Spirit tell me, you ought to listen, you might learn something. And 20 minutes later, I had a question in my heart that I argued with God over for the next 3 weeks. And every time I would bring an argument against it, it would fall apart before I could finish telling God about it. At the end of 3 weeks, I laid it to rest and I said, okay, God, I'm going to live by these rules now and get rid of all of this religious stuff I've known for my whole life before this. And I told him, I said, but 53 and a half years of age, why did you wait so long? And honest, God is my witness, I heard the Holy Spirit very quickly and softly tell me, I got you here just as quick as I could. And I realized that the reality of the truth of the scripture, that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free, was absolutely off the charts. I just thank him for that revelation.
Amen. Thank you, Russell. I want to be really clear so that you all understand. We are a grace, you all know this is a grace teaching church. And there are a lot of awesome grace teachers out there. And there's a lot of good teachers out here that might teach a mix of things. I don't care where you got the good things that came from God. I don't care where you got them. The thing is you got them. That's the bottom line. Okay? Okay. Jilly, what's one great thing that the Lord has done for you?
Okay, in a nutshell, then he gave me this family. That's the best thing he's done. My parents are heart surgeons. Thank you. And it's a miracle that I'm standing here right now. Just to quickly get into it, my father lived a homosexual lifestyle, and I am the youngest of three girls. So it's a miracle that I was born, because he had already decided to go that way right before I was born. He left my mom 5 years after I was born. So I was born in Providence Hospital, and I lived in New Providence, New Jersey, when I was five. And so that was God telling me, I am giving you provision. And there's circumstances in life that happens that makes people, you know, confused and lonely and, you know, make wrong decisions. But thank God that he brought me here up to this day to be under instruction and believe the right things and get rid of the wrong beliefs in order to go on. Everyone has a hard life, but I'm very thankful and grateful that he gave me this family. So
one great thing that God has done for you.
This is the story of my salvation. February 1987. I was a young man. Had gone through college, and I was reasonably successful in college. I'd heard the gospel. But I looked at my peers that preached the gospel. The girls wore no makeup. They looked suffered. They looked wretched. I said, I believe what you guys are saying, but I really cannot live this way. So I graduated, I started working, and living the life, what I thought was the life, and surrounded by many girls. The story of my salvation is that I was actually brought to the Lord by girls. I remember one incident. I took a girl home, and we're about to do what unbelievers do. And before that, she went into her nightgown and she knelt down to pray. Something in me revolted against us. We're about to do this, and you are praying and asking God for what? I just rejected that. The next incident was another girl, very pretty, but she was very loose. One day I was with her, and I was I asked her, her name was Chioma. Chioma, you're very pretty, you're very personable, you're charismatic, but you have no self-esteem. Because I knew all my friends had been with her, and we were just passing her around like that. So after that incident, those two incidents, I started thinking. I felt like somebody was out at sea, thirsty, surrounded by water, but none fit to drink. Mm-hmm. And I started asking God, is this the life that I'm going to live? I was unsatisfied. And luckily for me, I had a friend I'd known from childhood, and he said that there's this meeting they hold in the biggest hotel in town. Would you like to come? I said, what's it about? He says, it's about the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. So I said, okay, I'm not doing anything Tuesday night. Let's go. I went there, and for the first time I saw well-dressed, successful young people serving the Lord with all their heart. I say, this is what I want. This is the kind of life I want. I want to serve the Lord, but I don't want to do it in that old Pentecostal, no makeup, no earring, nothing, you know, wretched, poor life. And the preacher stood up there and preached. Before it was over, I ran to the front and knelt down and gave my life to the Lord.
Praise God.
And one reason, or two reasons, I knew that my salvation was genuine. Nobody sat me down to say, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. We had already scheduled a party for that weekend, and in that party was the usual drinking, smoking, and partying with girls and all that. I went there and I felt totally lost. I just wasn't a part of that life anymore.
Amen.
You know, everything in me rejected it. And the second thing was, I had a girlfriend, and I went up to her and said, that was later on, the following Sunday. I went to her and said, this thing we are doing is not right. Let's end it. And I've been a Christian since then.
Praise God.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right. Come on, who's next? Now, we're going to have to brief them up. Okay? But just give a bullet point. What good thing has the Lord done for you?
Everything.
That's good.
Is that it?
Go ahead.
All right. So this, man, God's done so much for me. So many miracles, salvation, things like that. But this might not seem really big, but it's huge. So when I moved out to Reno, I got involved with a church, and the first thing I wanted to do was get involved with some sort of outreach. And so the church had a program where they fed people at the local gospel mission. And so, hey, I want to join up and things like that. And so what they do is give you a slow cooker.
One good thing that Jesus did for you. You don't have to give all the background, but what did he do? I'm just looking at the time, Tim.
He multiplied a thing of pepper. Where I didn't have enough pepper, I didn't really, this is silly, but I was supposed to make chili. Don't judge me, but I don't like chili. I've never made chili, and it's like, okay, we're making chili. And so I go out, get all the ingredients and things like that, I'm praying and stuff, and got some different ingredients to cut it because I thought, you know, I don't want it to be too warm because these people's stomachs, people told me, you know, oh, these people, you know, their stomachs are blah, blah, blah.
What did he do?
So my neighbor, I it's 11:30 at night, I don't have any pepper. I'm like, how could I not buy the pepper? Run into my neighbor. My neighbor says, I'll get you some pepper. I'm a caterer, you know, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And okay, and so he's almost out of pepper, and he's like, you know, this isn't as much as you require, but it's really good pepper. It's strong, you know, it'll work. And so, thank you so much. And I go and start making it, and I pour in. It required a cup and a half, and this was not even a cup. I pour the thing in there. It fills the cup, and I'm like, that's interesting. Pour the cup in there, and I look back at the pepper jar. Nothing was missing. And I said, oh my word, and I poured the half cup. Look back, nothing is missing. Anyway, so out of all the people who made the chili, they voted mine the best. And I got to witness to my neighbor who borrowed the pepper, and I shared the story with him, and he's like, Tim, will you pray for me? And you know, he was a Catholic guy, led him to the Lord.
So he multiplied your pepper. Praise God. Okay, Julie, come on. Now we're going to have to move because we have to be respectful of the children's workers, okay? So one thing that Jesus has done for you. Yeah, I know it's hard to whittle it down. He saved me. He healed me. He brought me all this stuff. He just prospered me. He done everything. Well, it's one thing because he's done a lot.
He loved me to wholeness.
He loved you to wholeness. Thank you. How cool is that?
Did I just give a little background? Okay, just a quick second.
You only have like 30 seconds.
Okay, when Bruce died, I ran away from God for a long time. A year and a half, and I went to see Pastor Rose. And I said, what do I have to do to get back into his good graces? And she laughed at me. Not laughed at me, but she just said, oh, he never left you. And so, a couple months earlier, he had asked, can I love you to wholeness? And I said, no. And so I went home that day after talking to Pastor Rose, and it was just so sweet. He was just waiting for me.
Amen.
And he reminded me that next Tuesday, what did I tell you back in May? And I had written it down, and I even wrote no behind it. And I said, you said you would love me to wholeness.
Amen.
And he said, that's what I want to do.
Praise God.
And it's been great ever since.
Thank you, Lord.
Can't do it.
Loved you to wholeness. Tommy, come on, Lori. We're just going to get right up here and do it quickly, because I want to pray for you all before we wrap up. Tom?
Okay, mine's real easy. The Lord made me a servant, a brace, and a helper. I've been that way for 40 years. Here recently, he has turned me into a leader. So this prayer meeting is my leadership. And that's what the Lord's doing.
Praise God. He gave you a prayer meeting to lead. Lori, come on. What has he done for you? One thing, real quick.
It's hard to pick one thing, but one thing was really amazing to me. I had been praying for some family friends My husband knows them more than I do, but there was a young woman, I think she was in her 30s, who was dying, and we couldn't pray for them personally. I mean, I prayed for them. Anyway, when she had just died, my heart was broken for her and her family. She had young, young children. And I was just wanting to pray and talk to God about bringing her back. And I'm just so thankful for all the teachings from here and in the Bible. But I never put them into practice, and they were never as real to me. So I prayed, and I kept talking to God, and he gave me a vision of this woman. I mean, there's no tangible proof. It's just a vision that I had, and I was extremely encouraged. So I saw a vision of Jesus standing in a beautiful paradise with this young woman, and he was right next to her. She was looking at me like, "What are you doing? I'm here to stay. I don't want to go anywhere." And he was beaming and just beaming and smiling at me as if to say, you know, don't stop. Keep believing for these things. Keep believing for praying for people to come back when it's so early, you know. And then as I was praying like that,
you have to wrap up.
I saw another vision of, I sensed that it was someone in my family line that wanted rescue from where he went, and it obviously wasn't good. And I just saw him break his hands up through the ground, just wanting rescue. So those were two visions I had, and it was powerful to me.
Okay. Come on. So the Lord opened your eyes to the Word, your understanding of the Word, and he gave you visions of things that were happening. Okay.
Okay. I just wanted to share real quick another testimony that was purely based on the name of Jesus. I was in a really bad car accident a few years back when Emma was just a baby. And a really neat thing was that I think is important is, on and off for about a year or so, I would have these dreams. I think maybe everybody's had them, where your car goes off a cliff and you're landing into the water, or weird things like that. And I would be going down, and I know I'm heading into this lake or whatever. And I, in the dream, would just close my eyes and say the name Jesus. And when I open them, the car's in the water and I'm outside on dry land and everything is, I'm like, hey, that's a cool dream. Terrifying, but awesome. but every time I would just say the name Jesus. And I didn't know at that time, but that was already provision. And it was like I had a testimony of what he did without it happening to me. And so I got in a really bad car accident one night driving home. It was raining really hard. It was really dark. I was about an hour and a half from home, and my car just kind of hydroplaned. And I'm going about 75 on the freeway, and I smack, you know, like the sidewall. And then I just, like, you know, I knew, like, there's nothing I can do here. So the car was moving. There was cars all around. And I literally just closed my eyes. And I remember myself just saying, Jesus. Like, just kind of screaming out, Jesus. And I waited for everything to stop. And when I kind of woke up, I was upside down in the car. It was smashed to pieces. But I was totally fine. I was totally unscathed. And somehow all the cars that were on the road disappeared. Nobody hit me. I should have hit some other vehicles. And if you ask my husband, he'll laugh because he said, I still can't believe you called me on your phone while you're hanging upside down to say, I was in a car accident, but I'm fine. God saved me. Nothing happened.
Praise so, God.
He said his name.
Thank you, Jeff. Last one. So he saved you from total annihilation through the name of Jesus. This is it, Jackie.
I got see 1 minute.
Actually, you have about 30 seconds.
I have 30 seconds. But
what's one good thing the Lord has done for you?
I'm standing up here talking in front of all you people. So that is the
Amen.
One thing. Honestly, there was a time in my life when I would not even be able to stand up and speak my name because it's so much fear of not being perfect enough. So I just thank God he has helped me overcome this fear that I've had, that I can stand up and I can say hallelujah.
Amen.
And praise God and all the great things he's done in my life.
Amen. So he delivered you from fear and insecurity. Stand with me, will you, everybody? Stand up, let's pray. Actually, let me pray for you. I hope, my heart, that this has spurred you to think about the great things that God has done for you. That's my heart. What would be really good for you is to take the time to sit down and write down, just begin to write down the great things that the Lord has done for you, because that is your history with him. In that history, you will see that God never failed you. You will see that his grace has always been sufficient. You will see and understand and get a greater revelation of Jesus and the power of the universe that has been in your life and still is. You will see. He'll never let you down. You will see it. You will see it. And you will begin to expect much, much more. Amen? Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you. I thank you for all the good things, Jesus, that you have done for us. All the great things you have done for us. Our mighty and wonderful, incredible God. And Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you would bring to our remembrance and to our hearts the great things that you have done for us, and that that is what we would proclaim to the 10 cities around us. What great things God has done for us. I thank you, Jesus, for all your mighty work in us and for us. In Jesus' name, we are blessed. Now, the prayer will be up here. You're dismissed. It's food day. You're dismissed. If you need prayer, if you need a miracle, if you need the supernatural, they are full of faith. They'll put theirs with yours. And you can expect change in Jesus' name. Have a great week, everybody.